My presentation, which, while very different from Dr. Levy's, also addresses a question of what's been going on since the Vietnam War. In my particular case, I'd like to spend the next 20 minutes or so talking to you about the National Academy of Sciences, where I work, and the management of an epidemiologic database that we have that can be used to study the effects of wartime service and other issues related to health. Now, very quickly, National Academy of Sciences, we are not a part of the federal government, but an independent institution that was created to advise the federal government on science issues. Even back in President Lincoln's time, they understood that if the government wanted honest advice, that they needed to not have a body that was part of the government giving that advice. I'm in a part of the National Academy of Sciences called the Institute of Medicine, which was created in 1970 to provide a focus for medical issues and medical issues research within the National Academies. Now, what we do at the National Academies and what Dr. Walker will talk to you about a little bit later in the afternoon is conduct studies for which we form volunteer committees of experts and write reports based on literature reviews and reports that are subject to peer review. The particular piece of work that I'm talking to you about right now has to do with the Air Force Health Study. A lot of people call this the Ranch Hand Study. And it was instigated at the behest of the Congress in 1979. And the focus on this study was to look at the health of the people who were involved in spray missions in Vietnam. These are the people who were flying the aircraft that were responsible for spraying, who were navigating those aircraft, and who were part of the ground support personnel. It is unusually detailed as studies, epidemiologic studies, go. The exposure period, of course, was during the war. Spray operations took place roughly between the early 60s and 1971. They reached their peak at roughly 1968-1969. This period of time for which data were collected for this population of Vietnam veterans and a cohort population which also served in the military in flight operations but which, who were not involved in spray operations. Data collection period was between the early 1980s and the early 2000s, 20-year period. Now, for this population of individuals, and we're talking roughly 3,000 individuals total here, a number of different pieces of data that were collected. They include a number of clinical examination health endpoints, the kind of thing that you would collect if you were trying to understand in a very general way what someone's health might be. And when I asked the principal investigator for the Air Force Health Study why such a broad-based approach was taken, the answer that I got was that they came into this study with a lot of questions regarding what the health effects of herbicide exposure in the Vietnam service might be, and not many answers. And they decided that a good way to approach this problem was to collect very generalized data in hopes that later on they would be able to start forming hypotheses on what the most important and influential factors might be. Now, in addition to the clinical data that was listed, a number of biospecimen and examination-based data were also collected. These include serum and whole blood, urine, semen, skin and fat biopsies, and the rest of the list that's there, which includes neurologic assessments, psychological testing. Now, in addition to those, this population was also surveyed to get a number of socioeconomic status indicators. and how, of course, those indicators changed over time. Everything that you might want to know if you want to properly control for the effects that socioeconomic status might have on subsequent health, and also the effects that exposures other than Vietnam service might have on someone's health. In total, roughly 2,800 individuals participated in at least one of the exams that collected the data that I just showed you the categories of. And the amount of information that was collected was rather vast, including, importantly, serial serum samples over a 20-year period from a good subset of this population. In addition, there was a reproductive outcomes study looking, this was an all-male population, so looking at their progeny and some very basic health information through age 18, looking in total at roughly 10,000 conceptions and 8,000 live births. In addition to these two morbidity components, there was also a mortality study that was conducted on a rather larger population of Vietnam War combatants and controls. These were data for this particular part of the study was collected through standard epidemiologic sources, including Social Security Administration, the National Death Index. Now, the Air Force Health Study, during its 20-year period, had a number of contributions to the scientific literature. Importantly, the research conducted on this population has played a large role in informing questions of the pharmacokinetics of dioxin, tetrachloro, 2,3,4,2,3,7,8 tetrachlorodibenzoparadioxin, excuse me. Even though I say that one a lot, I still stumble over it sometimes. And trying to get a better idea of how long this substance, which is lipophilic, which does store preferentially in fat tissues, how long it survives in humans. Papers on this population have also looked at other issues, including health outcomes like diabetes, and also health outcomes in the children of the veterans, including spina bifida. Now, National Academy of Sciences got involved in this study as it was ending when the Congress directed us to evaluate the merit of preserving all of the data that we did collect, that was collected during the course of this study, for further research. The result of that initial charge from Congress was a 2006 report called Disposition of the Air Force Health Study. There's a slide at the end that will tell you how you can download this report in its entirety in PDF form for free if you'd like to take a look at it. That report offered recommendations on a number of topics, including the value of the research assets and alternatives for the future, and how that work might be conducted. The report concluded that the data set of these Vietnam veterans and people involved in spray operations were unique, that the data were of high quality, and that it had contributed to the scientific literature that helps us understand the health of Vietnam veterans. The committee concluded that there was merit in retaining the data after the end of the study and making it available for others to conduct research on it. Since that report has been completed, the Congress directed the Air Force to transfer custodianship of the data and the biospecimens to the Institute of Medicine. We went back to that cohort, asked them for permission to continue to hold the data for research purposes. Over 95% consented, and the data were transferred to us a few years back. Now, because we don't have the ability in-house at the Institute of Medicine to maintain biospecimens, those biospecimens are being stored at an Air Force facility, in this case the Air Force Research Lab at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. Now, the Congress was very good to transfer responsibility of the data and the biospecimens to the Institute of Medicine, but was rather less ready about providing us with the funding to actually do anything with that. That resulted in a rather extended period since the release, where Congress first directed the Department of Veterans Affairs to provide us with money to go forward in promoting research on these assets, and our negotiation with the VA to actually get that money. In the summer of this year, we did get that permission. So, what are we doing and why is this important? We're in the late stages of developing the infrastructure that would be needed to disseminate these data and these biospecimens for further research by interested researchers. As part of this, we have a pot of money, $250,000 a year, to use to promote such research. We are interested not only in the specific and narrow issue of the effects of dioxin on the subsequent health of those exposed, but also on any other issue that can be studied with this database. And as you saw, there was a rather wide range of information that's been collected on these people, and a rather wide range of studies that might be conducted that could both examine their health and more generally examine the health of veterans or the health of the population in general. Now, we are developing a web page that will allow us to get out more information on this research project. In the meantime, we are interested in hearing from researchers who might be interested in studying these data. We can provide far more information on the kind of variables that were collected and are available and how they might be used. We're looking for creative uses of this database. We think there is a lot yet to be learned on the health effects of war, on the health effects of the Vietnam War in particular, and are hoping that clever and motivated researchers will come to us to get their hands on this information so they can start conducting that research. And as you see, there's also a URL for downloading the 2006 disposition study. If nothing else, if you're interested in this, I'd encourage you to write down the email address and send us a note expressing that interest, and we'll try to help you as best we can. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Questions?
Are you expecting to put out a request for proposals about research that will be done?
That's correct, but if, like Dr. Schechter, you want to jump that process a little and send us a note expressing interest, we are more than interested in getting it.
This seems like somewhat of a precedent, at least from my experience with the Institute of Medicine. Has the Institute of Medicine had similar activities with other research projects? Is this unique, or has any of the national academies been a warehouse for research and trying to identify uses for this?
Actually, the I'm the director of the Medical Follow-Up Agency, a position that I just assumed a couple of weeks ago. And the Medical Follow-Up Agency was created at the end of World War II by Colonel Michael DeBakey. This would be the same Dr. DeBakey who went on to a distinguished career in cardiology. But Dr. DeBakey was a military physician. He saw that in the wake of World War II, tremendous amounts of information had been collected on the health of that population. He did not want to see that information go to waste, and he spearheaded the initial effort to collect and consolidate information on veterans' health and make it available to researchers. As a result, we, the Medical Follow-Up Agency, have a number of other databases that we have made available to researchers, notably a set of databases on twins, one of whom served in a military role, the other of whom did not, that can be used for epidemiologic studies. And I'd encourage you to contact me if you might be interested in more information on those databases. The Medical Follow-Up Agency has always been a part of the National Academy of Sciences. It was part of the National Research Council until the Institute of Medicine was formed in 1970, at which point it simply moved over administratively. But we have the Medical Follow-Up Agency has facilitated research on these databases for several decades. We have close to 500 publications to our credit that have used various of these databases. Thanks very much. If there's any free time, please feel free to grab me if you'd like to find a little bit more information on this.
Thank you very much, David.